So many people don't get over the hump of getting to a substantial business because they don't have two core systems that you need. Like, if you don't get two core systems, you don't move to the next level of the game. And that's essentially like the way I think about it.
Are you ready to hear business stories and learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and level up your business from awesome CEOs, entrepreneurs, and founders without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresh values your time and is ready to share with you the valuable info you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Chris Orzechowski. Chris, excited to have you on the show.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And so before we jumped into the interview, of course, I wanted to read a little bit more about Chris so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's been working on. Chris helps brands of today become 100-year brands of tomorrow. A highly sought-after speaker in e-commerce marketing, Chris has generated over $120 million for his clients. With a decade of experience, Chris has collaborated with prominent brands like Carnivore Snacks and industry experts such as Robert Kiyosaki of Rich Dad Poor Dad. He's a staunch advocate for plain text emails and direct response marketing, and he brings a fresh perspective to e-commerce marketing. As the founder of 100-year brand and author of The Moat, How to Build a Profitable, Durable E-commerce Brand That Can Last Forever, Chris is dedicated to building enduring American brands and earning him features in both Forbes, Business Insiders, and now the I Am CEO podcast. And what I absolutely love about Chris is he's been an author of many best-selling books, and he's sharing so much valuable content for people. So excited to have him on today. But when I was doing a little bit of homework, I think he got started with the strength and conditioning blog. And while he was having his part-time, that was part-time when you had your full-time job, if I read that correctly, as a teacher. And I love that he really takes that same approach. So I think all the things that he does for his clients and people that he works with, it's not just about saying doing X, Y, and Z. He learns so much for him. So Chris, excited to have you on the show. Are you ready to speak to the I Am CEO community?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's get it started then. So to kick everything off, I wanted to rewind the clock a little bit. I know I touched on a little bit, but I wanted to hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story. We'll let you get started with all the awesome work you're doing.
Yeah. So like you said, I was a teacher and I didn't want to be a teacher anymore. I didn't know what I wanted to do in college, and I got out and I was like, I was a wrestler. So I was like, oh, I'll just coach and teach. But I don't know, like it just wasn't fulfilling for me. And like initially when I was in school, like I thought like doing business meant like you'd have to wear a suit and drive to New York City every day. And like my dad did that and he provided a good life for us, but like he didn't love it. I was like, I don't want to do the same thing. But I didn't realize that like business, especially in the age of the internet, is so different. And I've been fully running a remote business with remote teams and contractors and employees like all over the place for years now. But you just, when you're in high school and you're learning about this stuff or college, and you don't even realize what's possible. Maybe kids do nowadays, but I knew I wanted to like learn how to make money on the internet. And I was like, how do people do that? Like people are doing it. They're doing it. I bet I could figure it out. Like I'm not crazy. So I just started with some blogs and some websites and trying to monetize that way, and was figuring things out for a while. But then I discovered like the one thing I liked the most was the writing. And I learned that there was a thing called copywriting. So I started doing that for a lot of different clients and just hundreds of clients over the years, and just kept working and doing projects and doing campaigns for all different types of brands in different spaces, and got really good at it. And that's what kind of led me here today.
Nice. I absolutely love that. And I mentioned that you had that decade of experience. I mentioned that you imagine that you were putting a lot of time in turn once you found that lane of copywriting that really attracted you. But I imagine all the other aspects that you probably did a little bit more experimentation with and decided not to go all in with probably helped you out with the copywriting. Would I be accurate?
Yeah. Yeah. What I always realized, especially once I started working with clients, was like a lot of times people who, when you start your business, if you bootstrap a business, if it grows to a certain size where you can eventually hire a copywriter, that means you probably naturally, as a like a byproduct of the work, you've gotten pretty good at selling your stuff. And so I like with my own blogs, before I even knew it was a real thing, my websites and everything, like I was writing everything and I couldn't hire anyone. I wasn't making any money. So I was just writing and writing and writing, and that like really helped me cut my teeth. And that's why I always say, even for founders of big or operators of big companies, yeah, you can hire agencies absolutely for specialized things and hire consultants. But like, at the end of the day, you still have to know how to sell your stuff. And a lot of times I've found that people, once they just have it in them, you don't get to that level unless you're at least halfway decent at selling your stuff.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that a lot of times we can get in this mode of delegating literally everything. And so I wanted to drill down a little bit more, hear a little bit more on how you're working with your clients, how you're making that impact for them. Can you take us through what that looks like? And of course, I want to hear more about your book and what we can find there.
Yeah, so I have a few different things I'm doing. One is I run like a small, like I call it an incubator, where it's essentially like coaching and mentorship. And we help brands who are a little bit smaller, a little bit earlier, who've like achieved product market fit. We help them install the systems they need for scaling. So all the acquisition systems, all the average order value boosting systems like one-click upsells and packaging their offers properly, and then also all the email systems and SMS and backend stuff that they need for retention. And then I also have a new service I've just begun rolling out where we're doing Twitter ads for clients, and that's actually pretty exciting because people don't realize that you could advertise on Twitter and it works. Everyone's like, what? Really? I'm like, yes, it works pretty well.
Yeah. I love that. And why do you think people don't, or do they just see it as, I guess, nonstop conversation? They don't see the opportunity as much?
People have just been so focused on Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram that people don't even realize, like I see brands all the time. There's brands that are running ads. They have 50 million impressions, 36 million impressions, 10 million impressions. I'm like, you're not getting that many, even though it's super cheap, don't get me wrong, but even as cheap as it is, you're not scaling into that level of impressions unless you're making money on it, or unless you have the biggest bankroll in the world. You just keep burning money up. But most brands wouldn't do that, right? So it's crazy. Like the engagement, like we're getting CPMs of like $1.50 on some campaigns. And on Facebook, you know, you're paying, depending, it's going to be a little bit different for everyone, obviously. But like I have clients where we're getting, you know, $30 to $35 CPMs. It's not the most important metric in the world, but it's at least, okay, there's something here.
Yeah, that makes so much. Do you feel like that might be part of what I like to call your secret sauce? Could be for yourself, the business, or a combination of both. But is your ability to understand, but also be able to execute on those and see those opportunities that are out there?
Yeah, I'm like a 9 quick start. So I just like to go. So again, I don't do a lot of different things. I just go hard at the things that I know are going to work. Because again, like within business, like people try a million different strategies and they go a mile wide and inch deep, and like, you don't get traction that way. You get traction, like you have one acquisition channel and you have one retention channel. So if you have ads and you have emails, you're good to go. It's not the only thing that you should be doing, obviously, but so many people don't get over the hump of getting to a substantial business because they don't have 2 core systems that you need. Like, if you don't get 2 core systems, you don't move to the next level of the game. And that's essentially like the way I think about it. So like we help with execution. A lot of times, like so many brands have so many assets already. A lot of the execution is repurposing stuff that's worked before. Mm-hmm. And like we'll run ad campaigns. I'll look at the client and be like, hey, you have these amazing reels on Instagram. What we're going to do is we're going to take one of these videos and then we're going to take this little bit of copy that was really good. And then we're going to put them together. We're going to make an ad and I'm going to run that ad. And they're like, oh my gosh, sales are coming up. Yes, because it's good content. But people don't think to do these things. So part of it is just, it's hard though. It's hard when, what is the saying that people use? They say it's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle, right? And like when you're in your business every day working, like you can't always see the opportunities that are there. So that's why what I do is I just come in and say, okay, here's where you're doing good. Why don't we do these things over here? Let's double down on this thing, or let's do this other thing that you maybe were doing before, then you stopped, or this new thing that's super easier for us to set up, and then we could scale that.
Yeah, and it's being able to see those forests for the trees. So I wanted to hear a little bit more on what you have in your book. Is it touching on some of those things, some of those consistent things that you've seen for these really strong brands and how they've been able to stand the test of time, like the Hershey's of the world?
Yeah, it comes down to a few things. It comes down to MOAT is an acronym that I made up. It's mission, offers, acquisition, and traction, right? And your mission is essentially like why you exist, who you exist for, the problems that you help people solve, right? And the solutions that you bring. Because even like your products are going to, your offers themselves, they'll change over time, of course, just like everything else. But it's like, why does your brand exist? And what makes it different? Because there's so many brands. And anyone can whip up, they can get a Shopify site up in an afternoon and have the exact same product that you sell. Maybe literally the exact same product, but it's like a brand is something different. A brand is something that's tough to replace. And most people don't have that, right? Because they haven't planted their flag in the ground and said, this is who we are and who we stand for and what we believe in, who we're for. And what we help people with. So once you start differentiating, that's the first letter. And then the next letter, O, is for offers. And it's understanding how to essentially, when you look at your P&L, you get to create your P&L. That's what people don't realize. You get to create, what are the revenue things? Like, what are you selling? What's the front-end offers? What are the back-end offers? What are the things you're going to use to attract customers? Once you have the customers, what's the stuff you're going to sell them on the back-end? Most people don't do, they just say, we have a Shopify site. And people come to our store and hopefully we make money. It's okay. Like the best business in the world focus on the front end and back end. So like, why aren't you doing that? So then after that, once you have that figured out, then you move to acquisitions, developing ad campaigns around the front end things to attract people. And then traction is essentially just how do you monetize the audience? Because the best brands, the most successful brands of all time, they're the ones that have been built on repeat customers, right? every single brand that's successful is because of repeat business, right? It's very hard. It's not impossible. But it's very hard to be a brand. It's very hard to find a business where, like, you're not getting, you're only surviving based off first-time purchases. So I think that, like, retention is a big topic in the e-commerce and the online space. If you want to be successful, it's not like a million different things, but it's just a handful, a basket of strategies, and then just going super deep with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I appreciate you so much in breaking that down, and especially what Moat stands for. I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I want to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or even a habit that you have. But what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
What I like to do, I have this little scheduling system that I use, or at least I try to stick to as closely as possible. I call it the magic box. And what I do is I just look, I pull up my calendar, and I just draw like a little box somewhere on the calendar, and I say, this is the box where all the calls go. So if I'm, because I've been working fully remote, full time since 2017, before everyone remote during COVID and everything, right? I was doing it before it was cool. So I had to organize myself, because there'd be days, okay, you got to call at 9 a.m., you got to call at 11:30, and you got to call at 2:30, and it's like, you got no time to get anything done. Because, like, yeah, maybe you work a little bit in between, but then you got meals, then you got breaks, and you got to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, how do we, like, compress this to where I know when I'm on calls, the only thing I have to worry about is just showing up and doing my thing. And when I'm not on calls, that's where I can get deep work in and do big projects and build things, actually ship work, right? Or work on the business, create infrastructure and those kind of things. So the magic box, like an example would be, let's say it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., mm-hmm. right? That gives you 12 hours worth of Zoom time or call time or meeting time or however you want to break it out. And you might not need all 12 hours, and that's fine, but you just know, okay, inside the magic box, that's where all the calls go. And then nothing gets scheduled in the mornings, if that's what you prefer, or like Thursday and Friday, I would keep open. So I'd have two completely open days, and then I have open mornings. And when I was able to stick to, now my box is shifted to like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I have Mondays open and Fridays completely open. And then everything happens within those afternoon blocks on those corresponding days. So again, it might not, like, you might have to reshape the box a little bit. You might have to resize it depending on what you do. But it's like, do you need more than 12 hours of Zoom time? What are you doing? What are you doing on the computer? You don't need that much. Like, you tell yourself you need that much, but you don't need that much. Could your hour meetings become half hour meetings? Could your half hours become 20 minutes or 15 minutes? Like, I bet that they could. Can some of these meetings become Loom videos that you film or someone films back to you? Could those Looms even become emails? There's always a way to downshift your responsibility for camera time. Because listen, it's great. I love, like, we're doing this obviously through the magic of the internet, and it's awesome, and it's enabled our businesses to do amazing things. But at the same time, like, you get tired. And if all you're doing is just on calls all the time, you're not doing the other stuff in your business. So for me, there's some statistics that, like, the average CEO, like, actually gets 2-3 hours of real work done every week, but it's obviously super impactful. Right. But it's like, what if you could double or triple that just by compressing everything into the magic box?
Yeah, I love that. So what would you consider to be what I call a little bit more of a CEO nugget? This could be like a word of wisdom or piece of advice. It might be something you mentioned in your book, you would tell your favorite business client, or if you happen to a time machine, you might tell your younger business self.
So I think that, thinking about capital allocation mindset, right? For me, there's been three investments that have always paid off, like, more than anything else. And it's assets, audience, and allies, right? If you invest into all three of those things, or any combination of those, like, anytime you're thinking about, like, should I hire this person? Should I do this initiative? Should I do this project? Does it fall? Is it an asset for the business that's going to produce cash? Is it a relationship that you're investing in? Or maybe if it's a mastermind or a professional organization where, you know, you make an investment of 25K, you join, but then you have every person you ever needed to connect with in one room and you meet with them three times a year, right? That's a smart investment. Or audience, like, which is just leads, followers, whatever, like, not paying for followers, but, like, just doing things that will lead to a greater number of people who are learning from you or buying from you, right? If you make any of those three investments, they'll pay off, right? It's a lot of times, because you think every single day you have decisions. You're like, should I do this or this? Should I do this or this? Is it an investment in allies, investment in assets, or investments in audience? And if it's oftentimes, if it's not one of those three things, you don't have to do it. If it is one of those three things, you're probably not going to get burned if you make that investment.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I want to ask you now my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And our goal is to have different quote-unquote CEOs on this show. So Chris, what does being a CEO mean to you?
It means that you are an effective capital allocator so that you can execute a mission for a certain group of people. I feel like that's the best way to describe it, because that's your job, right? You're the head of a brand, of a company, who exists for a certain reason to help certain people with certain things. And your job is to just steer that ship. And you might not be steering the ship forever, but that's what you do, right? Like, your job is just to multiply capital, because if you're doing that, if you're multiplying capital effectively, then your customers are taken care of, your people are taken care of, and you live to fight another day.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, truly appreciate that definition. Of course, I appreciate your time even more. So what I wanted to do now was pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional that you can let our readers and listeners know, and of course, how best they can get a hold of you, get a copy of your book, find out about all the awesome things that you're working on.
Yeah, I would just say, if you're, you know, CEO and you're just thinking through like how to grow your business and how to make the best decisions, like just try to look at it. Just read Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger stuff, honestly, because that's been the biggest help for me. Like, even though they're investors, like all their advice is applicable to what we do, because they're investing in businesses who are doing the right things. So they're telling you what the right things are, what they're looking for. So just do that. But there's one thing, it just had such a big impact. There's a lot of great business minds, a lot of great people you can learn from. But those are the two for me who have just helped me see operating a business through a different lens, even though they're not operators themselves, technically. And then, yeah, if you want to reach me, you can go to 100yearbrand.co. That's my website. You can join my email list, or you can go to Amazon and get a copy of my book, The Moat. And here's a little picture of the cover. There it is. So find that. And yeah, hopefully my stuff helps you.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll have the links and information in the show notes as well, too. We always are reminded that success leaves clues. So I appreciate you for sharing that with us. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by CB Nation and Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Don't forget to schedule your complimentary digital marketing consultation at blue16media.com. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless Jr. Thank you for listening.